Let's look at 2 Peter verse 1, or 2 Peter 1 verse 12 this morning. Second Peter 1 verse 12 says, "For this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." Verse 12 says, "For this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth." Notice Peter's saying, I'm going to remind you of things though you know and are established in the present truth. Then he goes on to say, as long as I'm here, I'm going to remind you. And I'm going to make sure after I'm gone, somebody is going to remind you. We're going to come back to that. Let's read Proverbs 4, verse 20. It says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings." Verse 21, "Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh." You know, God's word is health to you. Amen. God's word, God is life. God is life. God is life. He is the self-existent one. He doesn't rely on any being to exist. The rest of you, how many of you are keeping your heart beating right now? No, he's the one that was, is, and is to come. He's always been. Amen. He's not relying on somebody. He doesn't have a job to go to. He doesn't have clients he needs to. No, he is not relying on a government. No, he is God. Amen. The rest of us, you know, we're created. But God's word, his word is living, powerful, and his word, it created all good that we see. It created the universe. Amen. He created all things good. Yes. And so in his word, there's power. There's life. Change even your body. It created our bodies. Verse 22 again, "For they are life," his words are life to those who find them, "and health to all their flesh." Verse 23, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it," not talking about your physical blood pump, your inner man, the real you, your spirit, "keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Verse 24, "Put away from you a deceitful mouth, put perverse lips far from you, let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil." Let's go back to verse 20. It says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings." Verse 21, "Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart." In the NLT, it says, "Don't lose sight of them." Don't lose sight of what? His words. I want to talk to you this morning about valuing what you know. Valuing what you know. And that's going to become more clear. You think, well, I know what you're talking about. Well, it'll become more clear exactly what we're talking about. But here in the NLT, it says, "Don't lose sight of what? His words." Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. In the CEB, it says, "Don't let them slip from your sight. Guard them in your mind." Now, this is mind, your inner being, your heart. Your mind has something to do with it. But don't let them slip. Keep them in sight. Don't lose sight of them. Don't let them depart from your eyes. keep them in the midst of your heart. Verse 22, go back to the New King James. For they are life to those who find them. His words are life and their health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. So this given us a picture. We have something to do with what we have. We got to guard it. What you know, you can lose. And we're going to talk about that knowing here more in a minute. But what you know is not a constant. And I'll skip forward. I'm going to come back, get ahead of myself. But what you know is not just what you think. What you know is what you do. You can have head knowledge and you don't do what you know. You know why? Because you don't actually know it. Because you let it slip. It's easy to let it slip. It's easy to know something, to be doing it, to be full in God's things, to actually, it is working in your life. It is vital. It is quick. It's quicken. You're with God. You're near Him. You are knowing His things. You know, you can let it slip to where it's a distant, I know. And you still have some head knowledge. I know what I should do, but it's not. I know. I know. You ever heard that phrase, use it or lose it? You know that phrase, I heard that when I was really young. That phrase over, when you get older, you know that is a true phrase. Well, the older you get, you realize somebody knew what they were talking about. In everything. It doesn't matter if it's mental. How many of you knew something. There was something you were doing on a job or you were doing in a sport or whatever in school. Man, you had it down. And somebody asked you, bump, 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 you can do it. They should ask you, demonstrate that. Oh, you're ready to do it. And now, I don't care if it was 2 years ago, it was 20 years ago. There's things you're like, I know part of it. Like, dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun. But there's one time you asked it, you know it. Because what, you're doing it, it's working in your life. You are actively, it's vital, it's there. But now it's kind of like, But you saw me in the day, I knew that. Your body, there's parts of it, you don't use it. How many, you know, there's things... You're young, that's a relative term, that young thing. I mean, you can be young, when you were younger, put it that way, there's things, you can do it, do that, not miss a beat, get up the next day, what? You see somebody that's, you know, boy, I could do this all day. Later, you haven't done something for a while, you do it, the next day you're like, I didn't know I had muscles in that area. Because you haven't what? You haven't used it. And all of a sudden you're using it and you're like, you might feel like, wow, I'm good. This is great until you wake up the next day. This is not a bad confession. This is just, when I say that, it's like you're not saying the wrong thing by saying that. Your body is aging. My body is aging. That is a fact. You can say whatever you want. You can say it's strong. The fact is it's still aging. In other words, an 80-year-old's not going to be able to do what a general 20-year-old is going to do. It's just not happening. I don't care how well you took care of yourself. There is a difference, okay? And things change over time. But if you don't use certain things, no matter how good a shape you're not using it, and then you use it, and you realize, I haven't been using it. And if you don't use certain things, you will lose it. It's the same in every area. Well, it's the same thing spiritually. Like this applies in every area, but there are things. God's truth, God's word, the way you know you're in His presence. Things are so clear. They can be so just quickened to you. And that can change. And what we do, what we would say, I would never do such and such. People can find themselves doing that. Why? And not that they were lying. They were sincere. Like, I would never do that because that's where they're at. They're speaking from where they're at, not where they could be if they slip or you and I could be if we slip. Same thing, everything. You're like, well, that'll... People are like, well, that will never happen to me. Well, it depends on your decisions based on what you do between now and, if we're talking about like earlier, like later in life. Like, well, I'll always be able to do X. Well, that depends on your decisions, what you do in between now and then. Do you keep that up to where you can do those things later in life? Or your attention now is like, it can seem so much like right now, there's no way I can never see myself over here, because where you're at now, it's so clear, everything is so true, and you say, there's no way I get over here. It totally depends on decisions we make. We can make decisions that will guard us, that will keep us so that what we know, the way we see now, can just get stronger. There's decisions we can make that can make us weaker. So there's something we can do. We guard our heart. We go back to verse 21 again. Proverbs 4:21. Do not let them, his words, depart from your eyes. And we read, don't lose sight of them. Don't let them slip. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Verse 22, for they are life to those who find them, health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. What does that mean? You're on it. That's not something, this is not the area to slip in. This is not the area for there to be gaps in. This is not the area we say, I'm good. I don't need that. I'm good. I'm strong. You can coast for a while. I can coast for a while. This is not the area, the things of God, which is life. There's not, we compartmentalize life too much. We ought not to do it. As Christians, we are living for a short time on the earth before God. We will live for all eternity. But we're living here for a short time, and our lives are an outflow. As Christians, well, everybody has the potential. Jesus died for everybody. As far as God's concerned, the payment for everybody's sins has been paid, but people have to receive it. If they don't receive it, then they're not right with God. But Jesus has made the pay. He paid the sins for the sins of the whole world. So the potential's there, but as a Christian, when we say, God, I believe on you, I believe in my heart that God is raised from the dead. I declare with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, that we become into the family of God, that we commit our lives to him. All our life is for him. There's not compartments. We do that. Humans do that. But really, everything is to God, to glorify God. There isn't, well, there's my spiritual life and there's my natural life. No, there's not that designation. People make that designation. No, well, we are serving God, and then we look to him and say, God, where would you have me to serve you? What would you have me to do? And when you put it like that, there's not natural and spiritual. There's just, we're looking to God. We're a spirit. He's a spirit. We live in a body. We have a mind. But what do you want me to do? Well, when you get it from him and you do that, that's not a natural thing. That is just you're in a natural body doing the thing he asked you to do. What can you actually do beside what he asked you to do? As a Christian, if you're going to be like, well, I don't think that's spiritual enough, I'll do this. To God? God is saying, if he said, I want you to watch this door. You know, the psalmist, I'd rather be the doorkeeper than to be up convoluting, you know, being up with the people that are high and mighty and the evil. I don't want to party with them. I'll watch the door in God's house. If God tells us, you do this, for us to go, I can do something different. What did we just do? We just told God, who knows everything, who's supposed to be our Lord, no, I'll do something else. Because what? I think there's something else. See, at that point, what can you actually do beside what he asked us to do?
That's the right answer is, whatever you tell me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Well, then that makes everything, every vocation, everything we carry out in life, if we're doing it because he wants us to do it, because that dip, and it can change over time. What he's asked us to do at one point can be different than he asked us to do in a different time. But at any time, what he's asked us to do, if we're doing that, we are being spiritual. We are being led. We are reverencing him. We're doing it because we believe he wants us to do it. Otherwise, we shouldn't do it. There's never a time where we're like, well, I'm doing this just because, and then I'm going to do this other thing. Wait a minute. What did he ask us to do? God understands the stages of life. God understands where we are at any given time. And so that's not lost on him. So what is he saying now? What is he saying? So we do that. And so as we're doing that, we're trusting him, we're looking to him. There is no, well, this is a natural thing, this is a spiritual. Well, I can let this part go and I'll just focus on this. Well, I know I'm not doing spiritual things because I'm focusing on this natural thing. I'm in school, you know, or I have young children, you know, or I have a job and it's time to focus on that. No, it's always time to focus on the Lord. And then he'll help us to do whatever else in life. If we don't guard what we know and think I'll get to that, we may not want to come back to it. Mm-hmm. See, that's the deception. It doesn't matter what it is. It's deception with sin. People say, well, I'm going to sin and then I'll repent. That's a dangerous place. You may not want to repent. I may not. If whoever it is, if we say I'm going to do this and then I'll... That deceitfulness of sin is it'll harden you to where you like, I don't want to come back. I'm going to walk away. Well, it's the same thing, that same concept. If we are going to say, well, I'm going to put this on the back burner for now. You know, I love God and everything, but I'm going to put this aside. I'm going to focus on X. We're opening the door. We're opening a door. You say opening a door, we have an enemy. His name is Satan. He's not a fairy tale. He hates God. He hates everybody that loves God. He hates God's children. He's just looking for an opportunity. He's looking for a door. He's looking for an opening to get in there. He's not the boogeyman. He's worse than the boogeyman. But he has no authority over the Christian. Jesus whipped Satan. Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me. So he strips Satan of his authority, but that doesn't stop the devil from trying to exercise it where he can. He's a con artist. He is an outlaw. So he doesn't play by the rules. He's going to do, even though he doesn't have authority, he's going to try to make people think he does. He's going to try to kick the door down, and he'll operate wherever he can operate. Just like an outlaw, just like a criminal will do. He's not like, well, I shouldn't be here. That's the definition. They're going to break the law. Anyway, that's why it's so dumb when people, well, we're going to do this. We're going to make laws. The criminals don't obey the law. They are criminals. That's right. So that's not going to help. The devil, you could say, well, he shouldn't do that. He's Satan. The devil is going, he's worse than anybody as you've ever seen, and he's just looking for a door. He's looking for a way to get in. He doesn't have authority in our lives to push his way in. But if we open the door, if we just say, well, whatever, we can do it unknowingly. And this isn't a fear thing. Satan has no authority over the Christian. Amen. He can't just operate unchecked. But if we just coast and we're like, well, I'm just gonna not pay attention for a while, then we're giving him a place. Why don't you can you put up 1 Peter all the way at the end there? 1 Peter 5, verse 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings, referring to what he was talking about earlier, are experienced in your brotherhood in the world. It says the devil, he says be vigilant at the beginning of verse 8. Be sober means clear-minded, vigilant, diligent, on top of it. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That means he can't devour everybody. He can't just kick the door down, but we have to be diligent. We have to be on top of it because he's trying. That means if we fall into the category of may devour, Peter's talking to Christians. So he's talking to us. He's saying, you be vigilant. You be on top of it. You have an adversary. In other words, it's not just, well, you just skate through and, well, God's loving and he understands. Well, he does. We live in a fallen world. There's one that hates God and is looking for every opportunity to get in there. So if we're not diligent, if we're not guarding what we know, if we're not guarding and keeping on with what we're supposed to do, if we say, I don't need to be diligent for this season, I'll come back around, we're opening the door. It says, he seeks whom he may devour. Verse 9, resist him steadfast in the faith. If we didn't have the power to resist him, then it wouldn't tell you. In other words, if you could not stop him, it would be meaningless to say resist him. It's like he's gonna kick the door down anyway. No, if you resist him, he can't do anything about it. But so it says to be diligent, be vigilant, be sober, because we do have an enemy. So we want to stay on top of these things. We want to guard what we know because we live in a fallen world, and this world is influenced. The Bible says in 1 John that the whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. There is evil in this world. There's people that don't believe God at all in this world. There's all kinds of sources that are inundating us all the time, telling you, go this way, or this is what you want, or this is what you want. And it's not necessarily explicit. It's implicit. Just here, I put this image up, and this is what you should want, and this is what you should look like, and this is what you should do. And if we're not careful, if we're not guarding our heart, we'll slip that way. You don't have to try to do it. You just have to get up in the morning and go do what everybody else is doing, and that's where you'll end up. And go back to Proverbs. Proverbs 4, verse 23, it says, so keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence. That means you stay on this, because for out of it spring the issues of life. That means everything we need in life, that it springs from there. If we aren't diligent here, everything else is going to suffer. It will affect your body. It's going to affect your mind. It will affect your relationships. It's going to affect your job. Oh, sure, you could go off and do something, and the world will give you accolades, say, I'm doing this, but actually, stuff is rotting on the inside. Because if we're not diligent, this isn't anything that we're a pressure, like, oh, I got to do that. It's just God is, throughout his word, is telling us, you may know something, stay, keep it. Hold it as precious. Hold it as precious. Verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. Put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. Verse 23 or 27, do not turn to the right or left. Remove your foot from evil. So if you're going to be established, you're going to keep going on, you're going to have to do something, protect yourself. Stay in that place so you're able to keep going on. So that's why we need to be reminded, even though, go back and put up 2 Peter 1, verse 12 before we go on. 2 Peter 1, verse 12, where we started. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Notice the people he's talking to, they know and they're established. So Peter could have been like, well, you're good. I'm going to go on.
You're good. I see you're solid. You know it. So my job is done. Have a good life. Notice that's not what he said. He said, I will not be negligent. I am going to remind you. Even though you know, even though you're established, I'm going to remind you what? So you don't get off. So you don't slip. So you're still that in that same place and getting stronger. And I'm going to keep reminding you, and I'm going to make sure after I'm gone, somebody is here to remind you. Why? Because we need that. We need the word in front of us. We need to be reminded. We need the truth that we know. If we get to the place where we say, oh, I already know that, we're slipping. We're ready. We're already at a place where we could slip. When we know something, then we want to hear it. We want to be like, well, I want to hear it again because I want to make sure I know I'm here. You talk to Jim in 5 years, he's still here stronger. I don't want future Jim to be like, well, I slipped. So it's safe. It's safe to hear it and it's safe, but we got to know. When we know something, we got to guard that knowing. Look down at 1 John 2, verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. It's talking about whole context. There's things that are, there's deception in the world, and he's saying you know all things. That doesn't do away with teaching. That doesn't mean you don't, later in the verse, or in the chapter, it says you don't need anybody that should teach you. In context, he's talking about what he's talking about there, because it doesn't contradict the rest of the Bible where you don't need teachers. God put teachers in the body of Christ so that we could learn. So you can't take things out of context like, well, you know all things, you don't need anything. No, we got to interpret Scripture with Scripture. He was talking about in context, and I'm not in this chapter, that we know all things. The Holy Spirit is there to guide us and lead us, and we need to be reminded. But verse 21 says, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. I'm writing to you not because you don't know it, but because you do know it. But he has given them the truth again. So these things that we know, that we've heard, we've got to hold them precious. In other words, so that we can guard them. Look at 1 Peter 1, verse 6. 1 Peter 1, verse 6, it says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We go back to verse 7. It says that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes. He's saying your faith is more precious than these natural. It's more precious than gold. It's more precious than money. It's more precious than anything you can buy, anything that you can see on the earth. Your faith, my faith, believing God, the things of God are more precious and will outlast all this stuff that we get pulled toward. The world's not going to tell you this. The world will mock your faith. The world will say, that's nothing. That's a bunch of people that need crutches. It doesn't esteem faith. It doesn't esteem the things of God. You say, well, no, that's not something to be sought after. Seek after this. Look at this. But you know, so much of that, it's not going to last. But you know, the things of God, relationship with God, your children knowing God, your family walking with God, that's precious. And that'll last forever. And so while we're on earth, we want to count it as precious. We got to guard these. We have to realize, wait, you know, there's things in the natural, heirlooms or something that, you know, is passed down from somebody that's breakable, that's fragile, that you treat it as precious. If you're going to move that thing, you might move it by hand. You don't even want to ship it. You're going to put it in bubble wrap and whatever, and maybe hand carry it. Or if you're going to ship it, it's going to be wrapped and wrapped and wrapped, because why? It's precious. It's irreplaceable. That's the way we got to look at the things of God. We have to look at what we know. Do you understand? We should understand that knowledge of God is precious. The things that we've come to know, we don't take them for granted. The knowledge that we have of God and God's truth, that we know that God is real, that He is the Lord of all, that His Son Jesus is God. God came to earth and shed His blood in His death, burial, and resurrection, paid for all mankind, that He paid for the way for us to be children of God. That knowledge is precious, that we can come before God at any point with whatever we need, and he is there, that He's our Father. That is precious knowledge. And we want to esteem these things so that we guard where what we're functioning, what we know, what we've come to realize, what is alive in our life, the truths that we know, that we make sure we guard them just like we would guard something precious in the natural. We don't want anything to happen to it. We've got to guard our heart and guard our true knowledge so that it doesn't become something that's out there that I used to, but now it's kind of fuzzy. I'd like to get back to that place. And people say, I used to be in a place with God. Well, you know, any place that you used to be with God, you can get back there. Amen. You can get back there. If you've been there before, you can be there. I can be there. But you know what's so much better? Don't slip in the first place. That we have the testimony that we just keep getting stronger. Whatever you look back and not like, ooh, I wish I can get back to that place. It's you look back and say, I'm so glad I'm not there. I'm so glad I'm where I am because I know more and I'm closer to God. I don't want to go back. You know that should be the testimony of the Christian. You know the world want so many times they want to go back to the glory days. Go back when they were in high school and, you know, we won the championship. It's like, yeah, you're 60 now. Move on. I'm not, you know, this is nice, but you're not living there. The world will want to go back. Oh, look, we had it all youth. And oh, that's not, yeah, your body was younger. That's not life. That's not all there is. We ought to have the testimony that I'm getting stronger. I'm going up. Oh, I don't want to go back there. I didn't know anything. I didn't know how much I didn't know. I don't want to go back. Oh, thank God. I just want to be, yeah, there's some nice stuff, but I want to live there. I want to go here. And you just keep going. Just keep going. Keep going. That ought to be the testimony. It ought to not be like, oh, yeah, I need to get back to that place. You know, today is the day we can get back to that place. We can go forward and say, if that were us, we say, you know what? I'm coming. I'm making this precious, the knowledge of God, and I will not slip. By the grace of God, with His help, I will treat my relationship with Him and the things I do know and have been exposed to and understand as precious. And I won't let them slip. I won't go backwards. It doesn't matter what happens, I am going forward with Him. I am going to make sure that these things are in front of me, that these things, wherever I go, that I am guarding, that I am keeping my eyes in the right place. Look at Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. It says, these words which I command you shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit
in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. What's he saying? Basically, wherever you're going, you're keeping these things, his word, in front. That we see him, we see him, we talk about him. Reminder there, there's a reminder there. I'm not going to let them slip. I'm going to make sure they get strong. And notice it's talking about family. It's saying your kids, you're going to talk about them with your children. You're going to talk about them when you walk here. You're going to talk about them when you're, we would say, when you're driving somewhere, when you're doing your chores at home, when, you know, keep them around your phone. Don't all just let your phone be something that's taking you away from God. You're looking at stuff that brings you closer to God. That we look at stuff that's constantly spurring us on, that's putting a guard up so that we can remain strong, so that we will be established. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16 says, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. It's God's will that we be established. Everybody say established. When you're talking about something that's established, that means it's been there. That means it's not going anywhere. We want to be established, not flighty. Not, ooh, I use, you know, you see these pop-up things, like it's pop-up store. That, what does that mean? We do not want to be pop-up. What does that mean? You're going to pop down. It's going to be there, then where is it? It's gone. What do you want to be? Established. It means, yep, drive by it, yep. You want to be established. You know the way, maybe the young people don't know this so much, and different areas are different, but you know when the landscape changes, like in a town or area, there's something that was there for years and years and years, somebody's house or some place, and so even when if that goes away and that gets torn down, the people that have been there a long time, they still refer to that area as if that thing still was there. You know where John's house used to be. You know where this store was. Because the people around, that was there for so long, that's how they think about it. You know, now all the exits are different. For how long? A year or two now? You know, still, like, there are things, you've known them for so long as that is that exit. That's this, now it's all different. You're like, still, you've got like a lookup table in my head, like, okay, that is exit. If I'm talking to Shelly, exit, you know, it used to be exit this. Because the new exit doesn't mean anything. It's like that, it just has not had enough time to get entrenched. Now, I could go study it. I just don't drive past these things. Maybe you got it the first time. But when you've spent years and years looking at a certain exit, and all of a sudden it's some random number that doesn't hold to anything. We want to be so much that it's not like we want to be established so that we're there and there. Not that we're going away, that we're there, that somebody's looking, it's like, yep, it's the same. Yep, it's the same. Yep, it's the same. Not, whoop, they look like they were doing good and now they're gone 3 weeks later. Well, I was at this place, but nope, gone. Oh, popped up again, looking good. Whoop, there he is again. Jim's right, he's right. Oh, he's gone. Oh, he's there, gone. How is Jim? Well, you never know. He pops up, he pops down. I'm using my name because you don't want me to use your name. If I used anybody else's name, you'd be like, you call me out. What is that? Is that loaded? I shouldn't even use my name. I don't want that testimony. But literally, if I use any other name, I'm going to stumble on somebody. I'm not using Shelly's name. I'm not going to use Christina's name. I got whole other problems if I go and start using names in my family. So, but if somebody, random person, I can't even use John, Susie. There could be John, Susie, Joe Schmo. We got a Joe. You know, I'm not calling out Joe. So I can't do that. But just if a person's like, hey, so, but it sounds so weird if you just say it in generic. So I'll just say Jim. So if you go pop up, Jim pops up and he pops down, he pops up. Oh, he's having a good week. Wow, Jim's been on for a couple months. He's going. Even saying that, it's like, I hope it lasts.
That's not a good testimony. Well, you know what? Here's the thing. Yeah, if somebody is that unstable on the exterior, that's one thing. But you know what? Spiritually speaking, you can be looking like you're this to people, but spiritually, this is what's going on. And this is not to condemn us, okay? You don't take this and be like, yeah, no, I gotta read my Bible, or I gotta pray. No, that's not the point. In fact, it's the opposite. The point is, all we need to do is stay close to God, and the closer we stay, we won't get in that place. We won't be there. All it is just making it a priority so we stay close to Him and don't lose the things that we know. We consider them so precious that I will not lose this. I will not let that go down. I don't care what anybody else thinks, because I might fool other people, but I want to be strong with God so when the trials of life hit me, I am actually established. Because it doesn't matter what something looks like if a house looks established, it has nothing to do if it's actually strong. Not going to get into it, but you know the whole parable of the house being wiped out because it was not built on the right thing, which is talking about built on the word. If its foundation is insecure, if it's not a strong house, if it's a paper looking, it looks great from the outside, but the fact is the storm will wipe it out. I don't want to be the person that, or the figuratively, the house that's just going to crumble even though it looks good. No, we want to be strong so we can actually bear up because what? We're actually walking in it. We haven't lost the things that we used to know. Because Jim vintage 2010 can't deal with the issues in 2026. So if it's something that I used to be strong, but right now I'm not, that's not going to get the job done when the pressures of life come in. I can't face now's problems, the current problems, the present issues, the present pressure with a previous version of myself. So I can't say, man, no fair. I was strong, but I let it slip, and now I'm getting hammered. It doesn't matter. I'm dealing with where I'm at now. So I don't want that to happen. Where I want to be is I'm strong. I'm being diligent. I am keeping my heart. I will not let these things slip. I am valuing what I know. I am counting these things as precious so that when the enemy tries to push it, when this fallen world, you don't blame everything on the devil, but the enemy has influenced this world to where we are in a curse-filled world. And when that stuff pushes on us, that we actually walk in what God, through Jesus, has provided for us because it is alive and strong in us and we haven't let it slip. Amen. Because it doesn't matter if it's been provided, if we've let it slip to where like, I know I'm weak, I shouldn't have. God's merciful and gracious, so we call for mercy. God, help me. Help me. Strengthen me. And He will. But so much better just to be in His presence. Let's close with this. James 1, verse 22. Oh, praise God. Actually, I said close with that. Actually, before we go there, let's go to Psalm 95, verse 7. I want to read this. Oh, praise God. Psalm 95, verse 7, it says, "For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness when your fathers tested me." Talking about the Israelites, they would not listen to God. "They tried me, though they saw my work." In other words, they knew. They had seen God's power. Verse 10, "For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts. They do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." Notice the language in several places.
In verse 9, it says, when your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my works. In other words, they knew, they had seen, but they hardened their hearts. They weren't close to God. They were going more by what they saw instead of what God had done. Verse 10, for 40 years I was grieved with that generation. I said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts. If you're going astray, you had to be in a place to begin with. They were with God, but they would go away. If you look at, if you just read about the Israelites, they God would do something. They would go, oh God, you're God. And then a little bit later, they're away. And then they would come back. And then they would go away. And then they would come back. Over Israel's history, that's what they would do. They wouldn't just stay and guard it and say, this is precious, I'm holding on. They would go astray. They would go astray. And God called them on it and said, they always go astray. Even though they saw what I could do, they would not guard it. And so it doesn't matter. See, they with their heads knew what God could do. It was head knowledge. They had seen God. You could ask them, say, oh yeah, God did this. But in life, it didn't affect them. They actually still would go astray. Why? Because knowing, we're talking about valuing what you know. What you know is not what's in your head. It's what's going on in your life. What we're actually able to do and to put in practice. That is true knowledge. And so these people had known. They knew. You could ask them. Oh, yeah, God could do this. Yeah, God could do this. But it had slipped to where they don't actually believe it enough to trust him in that in the current circumstance. Go to James 1, verse 22. It says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. We go back to verse 22. It says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. You could say not knowers only in the sense of just head knowledge. Because like I said, if you actually know, you will do. But you hear, and it doesn't translate into doing, that's the knowing that you don't want. I know it. Oh, I know that. Now, you've probably done it. I've done it where I've done something. I know better. I should have known. But here's the thing. That means I heard something and it was in my head, but it wasn't vital enough and powerful enough in my life to keep me from doing what I just did. I'm not just talking about sin. I'm talking about whatever it is. I know better. That means I heard and it should have been stronger, but I didn't know. Have you ever had some? Don't raise your hand. Don't. This is not a questioning. But has there been something you kind of knew, you heard, you sort of, yeah, I mean, you kind of, you would say, yeah, that's a good idea. That's what a person should do. You know, it's vague. Some of these things we hear kind of vague and it's in the background. And then you go through a situation and you didn't do that thing that you would, if somebody asked you, you would say, yeah, that's the wise thing to do, but you didn't do it. And there's that period where you're like, it's a bitter thing. You just want to go back in time. You can see yourself doing the thing. You knew you had some knowledge that you could have avoided, but you didn't. And you're thinking, I knew better. I could have avoided. Why? And there's that regret and that I wish I could have, but I didn't. But I did it and I can't go back. And you can replay that segment where you made the decision to go here and say, why did you do that? You could have done this and you knew. But here's the thing. You didn't know it enough to avoid that. But you go through one of those things in certain areas, and at that point, you go from knowing out here to, oh no, that's not happening again. And when it happens, you go in that situation, you're in a similar situation. All that you went through and that pain of making that other decision comes up to where you are not going anywhere near that. Now you know this is what I'm doing. I am doing this. And somebody could say, well, that's not that bad. You say, it is that bad. I'm not doing that. This is the way. I will be over here. Now that's a now somebody says, well, I know that. And then they go, no, you don't, you're playing with it. You don't know. Then you've gone through and you're like, I did that. You know. You know. Somebody is like, oh, I'm not sure about that. You can do what you want to do, but I know. And I'm not going down that path again. That place where you know you don't want to slip from. You want to stay there to where what we know is what we do. And when we know to that degree and we know God and we say, well, I would never. We don't want a future version of ourselves to go, ah, it's, you know what? It's not that bad because like the Bible says here, it says, look at verse 22. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. When you hear it and you start to switch into that place where you kind of hear, you think you know, but you don't really know, we start to get deceived. We start to get to the place where we'll play with stuff. We'll go in places that we thought, no, I would not get. That means we're slipping. The good news is if we'll do what we know to do where we are, then we can just keep going further. We can stay there and we can grow because we've guarded what we have and we won't go to the place where that's going to slip. So now we know this, we know what we know, and we get more. And so then we get stronger and we get stronger and we get stronger. And as long as we stay there, God's mercy, His grace, it covers us because we're acting on His word. He'll help us to do it. By His grace, we can be doers of the word. And the doer, the Bible says, is blessed. Where did it say there? For if anyone, verse 25 says, but he who looks into the law of perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. That's God's will for everybody. And He said we could do it. If He said we could do it, we could. But don't be a forgetful hearer. Don't come from that place of knowing to, ah, see, that's the process. If we will, by the grace of God, say, God, help me. I'm going to do what I know to do today and stay there. We won't get in that category and we'll be blessed in whatever we do. God's faithful to help us.